Join me in prayer. Lord, thank you for these words, for these songs, for the gift that we celebrate. Make us aware, slow us down, draw us close to you. Amen. In fact, every year as we move through this service, I made mention of this last year, it just feels like at some point we have to take a deep breath, sigh, and say, okay. I mean, Advent's a rush, right? Starting Thanksgiving time, starting at Halloween time, it's a rush. You're constantly besieged by ads telling you to buy stuff. Guess what I bought? Now, this, those that don't know me, the reason the people that do know me is getting excited is I haven't had one. It's not like I upgraded. I haven't had a cell phone. I walked in to buy one. I won't tell you which place I went to because I didn't do business with them. But I went and I said, listen, my wife is out of town. I need a phone. She has a cell phone. She didn't leave it with me. My wife's out of town. I need a phone. Just give me whatever you got, the cheapest price. And he gave me all of these different plans and all that. I said, my wife isn't here to explain what you just said to me. And so I left and I went to a second place, and their price was considerably higher than that first place. And I said, my wife would shoot me. And so I would rather not have a phone than be a dead person. But along the way, I picked this up. This guy looked at me stunned and he said, do you realize 97% of adults in the United States have a cell phone? You are like a rare find. I felt honored by that whole thing. But I, just in case you think I'm backward, I have an iPad and I have an iMac. And I mean, I'm into that stuff, but I didn't want this dictating my life. I didn't want to be on a golf course as Jake Schleter is sometimes, and I'm lining up my putt, and Jake's talking on his phone. I mean, really, on a golf course? Jake, where are you? Own up to it. Own up. And here is the best deal of all. I'm a pastor, which is a really good deal, but people want me. Not in any of the ways I want to talk about. They want me, and I think, no, if I have a cell phone, they're going to say, oh, how rude, he's not returning our phone call. But if I don't have one, they don't think rude. They just, guess what we used to do? We used to leave messages. And we got back to them later. Not like right now. And so now that I own this, and nobody has my, well, three people have my phone number, so it never rings, but I'm always looking at it, thinking, well, that's not so cool. Ring. I even loaded. I loaded two different ringtones just so it would sing to me, but nobody calls me. I can't see what the big deal is, but I'm checking it all the time, even when I have it powered down, like I recommend all of you right now. Turn off your cell phones. But it's all part of the urgency that we live with. We feel like we have to be on call all the time. Even if you're a 10-year-old kid with a cell phone. Who do you need to talk to? You don't want to talk to your mom, so leave the thing off. But we feel locked to it. And I think that's the same urgency that we get in this season. Buy. If you're like me, you're mostly buying for yourself, but there are some great deals right now, so cash in. But it's buy. And then Christmas is here, and you've been trying to make everything go, and you're flying in from weird places, and that's stressful, and boy, you just want to look at a Christmas tree. Look at the person you're married to. Look at the person you wish you were married to. I mean, just relax and enjoy the presence of the moment. And I love this evening, too, for another reason, and some of you commented on it. In fact, Harvey Gantz. Harvey, can you stand up easily enough? Would you just stand up for a moment? Why? Just. And rotate just a little bit. Rotate. Thank you. Harvey never, ever dresses up. My goodness gracious. He wears... I mean, you even look studly. Who would have guessed? At any rate, it's the night. People gather and they look good. Dave, in case people didn't see, Dave Fraser, would you stand up? I mean, you don't all have to wear kilts, but he dressed up. It looks so great. And so you dress up and you look different than I ever see you. I look different than you ever see me. And it makes me wonder, because I'm a pastor, what exactly are you covering up? What are you hoping we don't see? And though that's supposed to be funny, there is some truth to it, and some of you are pretty nervous now that it's out there. You know, we come with different spiritual conditions, and some people, when they come in, they think, I really shouldn't be here. One, I really don't buy into anything these guys are talking about. I'm just doing this to make mom happy. But two, what if one of them really does catch me where I'm at and says, hey, you shouldn't be, blah, 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 you shouldn't be, because that's what people think Christianity is all about, telling them what's wrong in their life. And so we come in and we look good and we sit there and we can't wait, some of us, for this to get done, and others are thinking, hey, it's not bad, it's once a year. And then we hope we won't be exposed. Because if I've learned anything being a pastor for 30 years, is that given enough time, we'll find that, I hate to break your Christmas Eve mood, but we are cheaters, liars, slanderers. I'm trying not to nod at anybody in particular. We're adulterers, we're cowards, we're selfish. You know, each one of those, probably you don't have them all, but they're there. And we hope if we do enough good in one way or the other, nobody will notice the really bad thing hanging out in our closet. And that's what we're talking about tonight. Because those things, hidden deep enough and long enough, rob us of peace. Because we can't be real. We can't let people see who we are. We're always keeping up our images. And here it is, and we wonder, is there any hope for me? And as we look at the news, and the news is pretty scary, we look at the news and we say, is there any hope for humanity? Because most of us get used to what's going on, the gunk inside of us, but the other stuff kind of concerns us. And so tonight we lit these candles, and I want to quickly go through and hit the highlight reel for you. Because each one is a promise of what God is doing to change this situation. And so that the clothes that we put on, they're not the ones we need to wear. That He offers to clothe us in righteousness. So the first passage, we get a promise that this God who created all things by speaking a word and things came into existence, this God took on flesh and lived for a while among us. He brought heaven down to us. And that's the ideal when we talk about it, is that God has a relationship with us. That's the Garden of Eden stuff. That's the design. It may be a little weird to you, but this great big God of the universe, of all of those billions of planets and stars and all galaxies, this God said, you matter to me. I've created you in my image. I want a relationship with you. What does it mean for you to have a relationship back with me? So that God came down. And He offered us peace, because the peace that passes all understanding is when we're right with the Creator. When we are doing what we were created to do, when we are filling the purposes that God designed in us, that's what gives us peace. But along, and it's not very far into the Bible, I mean, you're just talking the third chapter, it all falls apart. There's Adam and Eve, as the story goes, and there's the Garden of Eden, and they eat the forbidden fruit, and oh no, they recognize they're naked. Can we talk about that on Christmas Eve? See, that's the stuff we talk about the rest of the year. You miss out on the naked stuff in the Bible at Christmas Eve. I mean, Jesus is wearing swaddling clothes, but everybody else is fully dressed. But anyway, Adam and Eve, they were naked, and when they ate the forbidden fruit, their eyes were open, and they were filled with guilt and shame. And so they covered themselves with some poor-fitting fig leaves. Had trouble holding them up, and God ends up clothing them, but he pronounces a curse. And what he does is he says, because of what you've done, because you've broken relationship with me, the work that you do, it's going to be hard work. It's not always going to bear fruit. There's going to be weeds in the garden, and there's going to be pain in childbirth. And the other part that got cursed was the relationship between them. The relationship that we experience between each other. Why is marriage so hard? Why is friendship so hard? Why is being... Come on up. I love kids. And so, Kimberly, you make yourself at home. Relationship. Why is it so hard? Because we're so focused on us. We're so competitive with those we're in relationship with. And we're so afraid of being honest with each other. And so God lays this curse on all these things, but he says, I'm sending one to deliver you from that curse. And that will be the Son of Man. And then the third passage, the one that Scott read, we talked about during the Advent series, Moses, and Moses is an Old Testament guy, and he delivers the people from slavery. He leads the people out into a promised land. And we look at Jesus as the one, Moses even prophesied and said, another deliverer will come, and he will deliver you. And when the angels showed up and said, boo, to Joseph, and hoo-hoo, to Mary, he said, name the child Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And so Paul writes, in Christ Jesus, you who were once were far off have been brought near. He is our peace. I don't know anybody, or few people, I should say, who haven't at one time or another felt that sense of being far off. Far off in their relationship with somebody. Far off in their relationship with God. This sense that life doesn't make sense, that life might have some sort of blackness about it. I mean, look what's happening in Ferguson right now, for an example. Look what's happening between Republicans and Democrats, for an example. Look at what happens between, and the frequent jokes, Wisconsin and Illinois, for example. Look at the divisions all around us. And what this deliverer does is he comes and he says, I will make the two to be one. So that Paul can say in another part, in Christ Jesus, there is no longer slave nor free, Greek nor Jew, male or female, but we are all one in Christ. He pays the price. We all need grace. We all need forgiveness because we are all sinners. No offense, just telling you what it is. But it is Jesus who gives us that grace. It is Jesus who allows us to stand. And that brings us then to the last passage, the one that Dick read. And that's the one about Bethlehem. Because there's going to be one who is the Son of David. One coming that is in this kingly line. That's David, he was a king. One coming who's going to be all of these things for us. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who is going to rule, the one who is going to be our peace, the one who slays everything that stands against him. And when you put it all together, you get this word Emmanuel, which means God with us. It was part of the angel announcement to Joseph. Name him Jesus, he will save his people from his sins. And this is to fulfill the scripture, that the virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel, because God is with us. God comes down. God lifts us up. God delivers us from our sins and pays the price. And God becomes our king and disposes, dispatches all the enemies that stand against us, the last one being death. And so now guess what? You may still be cheaters. You may still be liars. You may still be adulterers. You may still be cowards. But you have one in Jesus who speaks the word in our defense and says that they are mine. I will clothe them. I will change them. I will renew them. I will be their advocate. And so to bring it all together, there is this passage, one of my favorites in Scripture, Romans 8, and it says, what then shall we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? If the one who would not spare his own son, he gave that much, how much more will he give us all things? What can separate us from the love of God that is ours in Christ Jesus? Neither height nor depth, nor angels, nor demons, nor any powers in the heaven, nor any powers on the earth. No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For Emmanuel, join me in prayer. Lord, give us your peace. Stand with us in our time of need. Deliver us from the gunk in our insides and the stuff that separates us on our outsides. Unite us. And in this world, we pray for peace. In this world, we pray for understanding. In this world, we pray that people would lay down their lives for one another. Only you can set us free. Only you can remove our fears. Only you can give us the strength to love as you have loved. And so this Christmas Eve, we pray, come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen.